دبا بای داوزی السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.
و علیکم السلام و رحمت الله و برکاته.
Yeah, you know, I was looking on social media earlier this morning, and I saw that picture of your father running the race. You told us at the ripe old age of 85. He looks younger than you, fitter than you.
Don't start with me, Maulana.
Study that caught your eye this week.
My dear brothers and sisters, today I have a very, very serious business proposition for you. Yes, it's a highly profitable venture. You can make pots of money from this fantastic idea. But I have certain terms and conditions. If I tell you what this business proposition is, then you must promise that you will give me 25% of whatever you make. You are going to be rich, and here's the best part. You don't have to invest anything. That's right. No investment necessary. And you can make thousands of rands. Thousands. I noticed that all the mafatias made the radios louder. So, dear listeners, are you ready to get rich? Actually, I read about this whole venture in the British Daily Telegraph newspaper. Now, here is a question. Why are perfumes so expensive? It's incredible what they cost, eh? Incredible. When I call my Ruxana from overseas and ask her what she wants, and she says that her perfume is finished, I instantly get gabrach, break out in a sweat. Those duty-free shops I rip off. Anyway, back to the subject. Yes, perfumes are expensive. Maybe because they contain expensive ingredients. So this article in the British paper identified one ingredient that's added to perfume. It's called ambergris. When ambergris is added to perfume, it makes the scent last longer. It is an extremely rare ingredient, and that's why it's so expensive. So where does it come from? Dear listeners, at this point, I want to caution sensitive listeners and those who want to enjoy their dalgos today. Please switch off immediately. Okay, 3 seconds pause. Right. Now, here is a very interesting bit of information. Here is what Wikipedia says about ambergris. Ambergris occurs as a bile duct secretion of the intestines of the sperm whale and can be found floating upon the sea or lying on the coast. Ambergris is usually passed in the feces. It is speculated that an ambergris mass too large to be passed through the intestines is expelled via the mouth, leading to the reputation of ambergris as primarily coming from whale vomit. Ambergris is found in lumps of various shapes and sizes, usually weighing from 15 grams to 50 kilos. Ambergris may bob about in the ocean for 30 years before being washed up. As it floats, a white film forms on its grayish exterior, and it oxidizes in salt water. The lighter the hue, the longer the price. The longer the piece will have been at sea, and the lighter and sweeter its scent. And yet, what poetry it becomes in the alchemy of perfume. James Craven, historian and archivist for a perfumery company called Le Senteur, he says, ambergris lends a scent a tenacious depth, richness, opulence, smoothness, ambiguity, and an unsettling, do I love it or hate it, quality. It prompts the intriguing thought, I am divinely scented and delicious, but am I entirely clean? So there you are, folks. The whale vomits it out, or it comes out in the feces. Are you still there?
Yeah.
And this stuff is added to perfume. Well, some perfume anyway. I won't tell you which one. So because it's rare, it's very expensive. How expensive is it? Let's see what the Telegraph article says. Last week in Lancashire, Gary Williams found a lump of this stuff as he was walking along the beach. It weighs 1.57 kgs, just under 2 kgs, or 1.5 kgs. People from all around the world have offered to buy it. And what is it worth? It is expected to fetch over 50,000 pounds. That's over a million rand. A few years ago, another lump was found in the same area. And how much was it sold for? 120,000 pounds. That's a whopping 2,462,183. Sound like Zuma there, right?
Yeah.
2,462,183 rands. So how are you going to make money if all this stuff is washing up on the shores of England? Well, I have good news for you. Here's what Wikipedia says again. It says ambergris can be found in the Atlantic Ocean and on the coasts of South Africa, Brazil, and Madagascar. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
South Africa. Good heavens. I think I just made a huge blunder, Maulana. People in Durban who are listening to this, please beware. Next December, do not walk on Durban beachfront. You may just bump into a Joe Burger and his four fat red kids looking down and walking. Instead of saying, Derry, take us to the Wimpy or buy us some crisps. Now they will be shouting, Derry, I think I found one, as they pick up something the dog left behind. One last thing. You're not laughing. You're not laughing there, Maulana.
I'm laughing.
One last thing. I wanted to read the story to my Roxana and tell her that this whale vomit stuff is added to her Cool Waters perfume. It could save me going to the duty-free shop. But you know what? It's not true. Cool Water doesn't have ambergris. And anyway, my Roxana is worth buying perfume for, even if it costs $5,000 or $10,000. And now there's something to bring a smile to your face. And still in Britain. 31 years old, Nadia Hussein came first in a very prestigious competition known as the Great British Bake Off. Very prestigious indeed. And then things got better for her. A call came from Buckingham Palace. The Queen wanted her to bake her, to bake a birthday cake for her 90th birthday. And photos are full in all the British newspapers. The Queen cutting the cake and shaking hands with Nadia and so on. It was a three-tier cake. Well, the usual thing is for the Queen to have a fruit cake for her birthday. But Nadia decided to make an orange drizzle cake filled with vanilla buttercream and orange marmalade. Good heavens. If my Roxana ever bakes such a cake for me for my 40th birthday, I won't come home, Alana. But I'm sure that Nadia used all halal ingredients in making that cake. Anyway, the Queen seemed very happy. My spies, Maulana, my spies at the function reported that Prince Charles also had a piece of the cake. And this is what he said. I really think it's absolutely superb. Although it does have a somewhat citrusy taste, not something familiar to my palate. And what's this label on it? It says Sanha approved. I wonder what that means, Sanha. Could it be a shortened version of Sandhurst? That's the military academy from which I graduated. Yes, it must be Sandhurst Military Academy who approved this cake. You can never be too careful, can you? You never know what could be lurking in that buttercream. Perhaps an explosive device. And she is Muslim, isn't she? Security is so important. Jolly good work, Sandhurst, for approving the cake.
U.S. elections.
Well, Maulana, everything seems to be going according to plan. It seems more and more like Hillary Clinton will be nominated for the Democratic Party and Donald Trump for the Republican Party. We will know in November which of the two will be the President of the United States, and may God help us all. One is a warmonger and the other is a Badam dude deprived. So, and so far each one has been debating with opponents in their own party. But it will get interesting when Hillary meets Donald in a debate. And that's face to face. I'm waiting for that. Hillary has got quite a sharp tongue. And Donald needs his mouth washed out with soap, or better still, he needs some chilies put into his dirty mouth. Only stinking stuff comes out when he speaks. But over the past week, he seems to be toning down his raw manner of speaking. Commentators are wondering whether he is trying to sound more presidential. And Donald himself heard them and responded, "I can speak in a more presidential way. Just watch me. I will be more and more presidential. In fact, I will be so presidential that I will be boring." Dear listeners, have you ever heard a more, or shall I say, a less intelligent statement than that? You know what I'm waiting for? Both of them, Hillary and Donald, on a platform, and Donald Duck goes below the belt as is his style. That's his style, you know, to hit below the belt. What is the worst thing that happened to Hillary Clinton? And the answer is Monica Lewinsky. That is going to be one hell of a tamasha. Eh? Already Donald is reported to have said, how can we have Hillary as president? If she can't control her husband, how is she going to control the world? Well, let's hope that nobody washes his mouth before he takes the stage with her. But let us all pray that Uncle Bernie somehow pulls it off. Bernie Sanders is way behind Hillary. But if during this campaign she does not win the required number of delegates, although she may be ahead of Bernie, then there has to be a big convention in November where the final voting will take place. Guess what? Even the majority of Americans have little or no understanding of how the U.S. election system works. And here's a question. The two main O's in the Republican Party fighting it out are, of course, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. There's a hot issue that has been debated, that they have been debating recently. Guess what is that? Is it gun control? Is it about how they are going to deal with radical Islam? Is it about global warming? Is it about the economy, about jobs and so on? No, dear listeners. It's about bathrooms. Yes, you heard right. Bathrooms. Let me firstly say that the world is changing at such a rapid pace, it's very hard to keep up. It is, of course, as you all know, regarded as now being perfectly acceptable that a man marries another man. It's not shocking anymore. Something just came to mind just now, Maulana. Remember some time ago when a boy announced to his parents that he wants to marry a girl? The first question is, "Hey, is she Surti? Is she Meman? Is she Urdu speaking?" And if it was found that she is not what these people are, then khalas, the sky will fall down. And as time went by, this has changed. A girl wants to marry a boy, and the question is he Muslim? Oh, okay, no, then it's all right. Today the parents are happy, and they will probably say, "Hey, Gori Bibi, lucky this fella that Shirin wants to marry is not gay." That is the yardstick. Recently a new term has been heard, transgender.
Mm-hmm.
A boy is born absolutely perfectly normal. As he grows up, he feels that he is actually a female except in a male body. So he may take hormones or undertake drastic surgery to change his physical appearance. And the opposite is also the case. A physically normal female feeling that he is a male trapped in a female body. Did you get that? They are referred to as transgender. That's a new word. And so, dear listeners, in this world of equal rights, the campaign is full swing on to ensure that transgender people are not discriminated against. And so to the big bathroom debate, a transgender person must be free to decide which public toilet they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
A normal-looking male who is transgender can use a female toilet and vice versa. No discrimination. Equal rights. A new world. That's what it is. So many states in the U.S. are allowing this arrangement. But one state, North Carolina, passed a law, or is thinking of passing a law, banning transgender from using whichever toilet they choose to. The rule is that the gender shown on your birth certificate is the toilet that you must use. So in North Carolina, they're passing a law not allowing you just to use any old toilet that you want to. Well, this has had a huge effect on that state. Big companies have threatened to pull out. Others have said that they will not expand their operations in that state. And pop stars and other celebrities said that they won't perform there. So it's a hot issue. Most politicians are nervous about being asked this question because you catch it no matter what answer you give. The large group of conservative Christians will clap you very soundly, or you can lose the vote of the huge transgender and gay community. So, what to do? And Donald Trump was asked the question about bathrooms, and he, in typical fashion, tried to give a muddled, very confusing answer. This is what he said. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go. They use the bathrooms that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and economic, the economic punishment that they're taking. Leave it the way it is. Wow. So, dear listeners, now what Donald said is that North Carolina should not pass laws banning transgenders from using any toilet that they choose to enter. And, of course, Ted Cruz jumped on the bandwagon. It says that Ted Cruz addressed the issue in a tweet after Trump's appearance, saying, we shouldn't be facilitating putting little girls alone in a bathroom with grown men. That's just bad, bad, bad. It's a bad idea. So, dear listeners, what can I say? American politics is right in the toilet. And still on the subject of discrimination, if a person has too many beers and gets behind the wheel of a car, he can be arrested for driving while under the influence of liquor, driving while intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new situation that can get you into trouble. You may have heard of it. Flying while being Muslim. Now, here's a story that is mind-boggling. And let's go to the U.S. By the way, my group was in Washington yesterday. Sent me lots of photographs, the rotters. They went to the White House. I told them to ask Hussein Bhai why he's taking so long to send my visa. Anyway, here's the story that I've been talking about, and I'm really very fast, running out of time. Are we?
Yeah.
Okay. The University of Berkeley student, Khairuddin Makhzoomi, 26 years old, whose family fled Iraq in 2002 after his diplomatic father was killed under Saddam Hussein's regime, was booted from a Southwest Airlines flight and questioned by the FBI after another passenger heard him speak Arabic. Makhzoomi was flying home from attending a dinner at the Los Angeles World Affairs Council with Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, when he stopped to make a call to his uncle. Makhzoomi explained he was talking on the phone with his uncle, and as he said goodbye, he used the phrase, Inshallah, which translates as, if God is willing. The student said that after he hung up, he noticed a female passenger looking at him, who then got up and left her seat. Moments later, an airport employee made Makhzoomi step off the plane into the arms of security officers. Makhzoomi was told the woman thought he said Shahid, meaning martyr, because Inshallah and Shahid sound the same, at least to a dumb ass who speaks no apparent Arabic. The student was told he would not be allowed to get back on the plane. Security officers searched his bag again, asked him if he had any other luggage he was keeping secret, and publicly felt around his genital area and asked him if he was hiding a knife. The way they searched me and the dogs, the officers, people were watching me. And the humiliation made me so afraid because it brought all of those memories back to me, Makhzoomi said. I escaped Iraq because of the war, because of Saddam, and what it did to my father. Makhzoomi said the FBI questioned him about his family and about his phone call and what he knew about martyrdom. The FBI informed Makhzoomi that Southwest Airlines would not fly him home. He later booked a flight on another airline, arriving home 9 hours later. According to Southwest Airlines, the student was removed because crew members decided, in its words, to investigate potentially threatening comments made on board our aircraft. Whoa! Threatening comments. Now, let me give you some advice, dear listeners. When you are on a flight and they bring you your food, and when you take off that tin foil cover of the food container and see that lovely, well-grilled pink salmon and steamed vegetables, please don't say loudly, Mashallah. You may find yourself back in the departure lounge with cops poking you in delicate parts.
Obama goes to Saudi.
The Saudis are very pulled up, Maulana, very big faces. They are crushed with Obama, and it's all because of Iran. The short story is about who is the boss of the region and who, that's the whole Middle East. Will it be the Saudis or will it be Iran? Well, the lines are drawn. The Saudis have all the Sunni states in their camp, and Iran has Iraq and Syria in its camp. It's a power game, and Obama went and spoiled it all by removing sanctions on Iran, which means that Iran is welcomed by the world community, can sell its oil, trade with them, and become very powerful again. Not good news for the Saudis. And so Obama arrived in Saudi Arabia, and one would expect the big guns from the royal family to come to the airport and Saudi TV giving live reports and red carpet rolled out and lots of pomp and ceremony as usual previously. But no, it was not so. The Saudis got big faces, so there was no real welcome. Let me read to you very quickly from this report. It says here, President Obama's visit to Riyadh today wasn't exactly met with a warm welcome. Saudi state TV always hypes visits by foreign heads of state. Obama's arrival was conspicuously not mentioned. Saudi King Salman had been at the airport, broadcast on state TV greeting other arriving leaders for the GCC summit. By the time Obama got there, he and the TV crew were long gone, and only the local governor was there to meet him. Ho, ho, ho. Did you hear that? Salman Bhai was at the airport just before Obama arrived, welcoming other dignitaries for the GCC conference. And then he and the TV cameras packed up and left before Hussein's plane came in. Now, that is one big royal snub. And things are even worse. There is a report produced by a commission investigating the 9/11 attacks. 28 pages of the report have been declared top secret. The news is that the 28 pages indicate that the Saudis were somehow involved. And now congressmen are looking to pass a law that would lift the ban on the 28 pages. The Saudis are very cross. Foreign Minister Zubair threatened that if the law is passed, then Saudi Arabia will pull out its $750 billion in U.S. bonds. Now, you know what? That really shocked me. The Saudis have $750 billion in U.S. bonds. What are they doing investing in America? And what do we have to pay Hajj tax for? Wow, these custodians really take the cake, eh?
Mm-hmm. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, Selvan is in grade 10. Selvan is in grade 10. He is doing his English homework, and he goes to his dad, Mervin, and asks him, Dad, I want you to answer a question. What is the difference between these three English words? Annoyance, anger, and exasperation. And Mervin says, Okay, let me explain. Annoyance is when you are just irritated. Anger is when you are cross. Exasperation is when you are so cross, so angry, that you are speechless, you can't even talk. Now, let me show you. He goes to the phone and he switches it on. He puts it on speakerphone and dials just any number. A man answers the phone. And Mervyn says, "Hello, is Musa there?" And the man answers, "No, there is no Musa here. Why you don't dial properly, eh?" And Mervyn says, and puts the phone down and he says, "You see, Selvan, the man is annoyed. Now watch this." He dials the same number again and he says, "Hello, is Musa there?" And the man says, "Hey, what's wrong with you, eh? You just called now. I told you there's no Musa here. Are you stupid or what?" Selvan puts the phone and says, "Tell Selvan, you see, the man is now very angry. The man is angry. Now I will show you what is exasperation." He dials the same number again. When the man answers, Mervyn says, "Hello, this is Musa. Were there any calls for me?"
Okay, maybe as always, Jazakumullah for your time.
Always a pleasure, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the Big Picture program with Brother A.B. Dowji. It's now 19 minutes to 9. Our SMQ4 this morning, we've been asking you about your favorite flower and why it is your favorite flower. A message on SMS reads, "It's that bunch of red roses that I'm still waiting for in my 14 years of marriage." Another one says, "My favorite flower is Radkirani. Don't know what it's called in English. It smells absolutely beautiful." And Radkirani, they sing yesterday, today, tomorrow. Is that what it's called in English? That's what one of our listeners said earlier on. Then a number of WhatsApp messages coming through. This one saying, let me just read, standing tall and proud in the garden, alhamdulillah. This is a picture of a flower that one of our listeners has sent. It looks like a tulip. That's very beautiful, mashallah. Another message reads, "A red rose because the beauty and fragrance makes me think of Jannah." This one says, "The Barberton Daisy." The Barberton Daisy is simple, bright, happy flower. A simple, bright, happy flower. More tongue in cheek, "My favorite flower is Golden Cloud. It's not too heavy and my baking comes out perfectly soft. A close second is Blue Ribbon, then Sesco." This one says, "My favorite flower is the Oriental Lily." The Oriental Lily, and that is from Sister Zakia. I don't know many of these flowers. I'm not very au fait with flowers. But interesting, you know, how these things make life a little bit more interesting. Another message comes in as we're talking. "Our favorite flower is the Arum Lily, white and elegant." The Arum Lily, it's white and elegant. This one says, "Frangipani. It reminds me of holiday." Okay, those are some of the responses that we have received. We go for a quick break. When we come back, it's quiz time.
The Big Picture program was sponsored by Steering Auto Inspector Car in Benoni, the thinking person's car dealership. Steering Auto, the home of pre-loved cars.